basing our work on a software that can only give us probable answer, but not exact ones, it's kind of scary. So people in finance need to know how the tool works and to how to go around that.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of BARK, and my guest today is Nicolas Boucher. He's an expert in AI usage in finance departments, and that will be obviously our topic. We talk about, first of all, what's going on. So to what extent are finance departments using AI today? What are the beneficial use cases that Nicolas can see? And how also the challenges are being addressed that come with AI more or less naturally. But we will talk about the importance of education, for example, to really get going, and also some practical tips for finance leaders and finance departments on how to get ahead with AI better. Enjoy the episode. Hey, Nicolas, welcome to my podcast.
Good day to you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good. We already had a session where I invited you, so it was really nice to hear about BARK and to show to people what you do, because I think I remember when the first contact I had with BARK is when I was working at Thales. I got my first job as a finance transformation leader, and really, like, BI for me was not really something I mastered, and I had to learn really fast. So I was really lucky that you put out so much content out there and I could learn from you. So thank you already that you were there at the right moment for me to help me in my career.
Actually, I didn't know that, but actually I was at Thales, yeah, quite a few times, a long time back. So that must have been in your time. And it was a pleasure to be in your how do you call it? Video cast?
Yeah, webcast.
So it will be on YouTube. So if anyone's interested, yeah, take a look. It was really fun. And now we switch roles. Now I will interview you. And you are an expert, Nicolas, in AI in finance departments. So AI usage in finance, that's the big topic. And as we know from our research and our customer interaction, it's a big topic. Big interest in what's going on. How can I use it? Still a bit of a gap to the actual implementation from our point of view, but that's what I want to discuss with you and hear your perspective. So maybe let's start with a more general question. Like, what's your take on where is AI in finance today? Just from an overview perspective. Yeah, how strong is it being used? What do you see?
So first, what we need to remember is that AI didn't arrive just with ChatGPT. I think ChatGPT helped to democratize AI and help also to put AI in the hands of every individual. Like, even my kids are using AI with ChatGPT. Like, yesterday, my daughter wanted to ask a question about Harry Potter, and she took my phone and asked some question about her favorite heroes. But in finance, actually, we were some of the first functions to use AI. If you look about the payable process, most of the companies were using OCR, which is an AI technology recognizing a text from an image. So if you have an invoice on paper, you scan it, then you can upload it with all of the information on it in your ERP. That's AI was doing that by recognizing the characters. Then you have also big finance organization or bank as well, which used AI to recognize patterns for either for fraud or for risk. So if you are traveling and your bank is blocking your card, it's just because there's an AI algorithm that thinks that it's an anomaly and it's not a human who saw that. So just some examples to show that AI is not new. And then you have also some companies like Coca-Cola or Microsoft that were already using AI for forecasting. And I talked with some of their leaders, and it's really interesting because when they moved from their traditional forecasting that was manual to AI forecasting, they changed the forecasting length. So how much time it took them from like 1 week to 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And so that's just to remind everybody, we can be proud in finance because we read everywhere that, oh yeah, AI is late in finance to be implemented. No, it's just that we already started before. And us in finance, we have also other type of demand than just writing text compared to marketing or compared to other types of departments.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it makes a lot of sense how you put it, that you take a broad view. And we have the use cases in more, let's say, operational processes like accounting, as you mentioned, yeah, that many finance departments always try to automate or always try to get ahead with more productivity. And this were one of the first users of like OCR and things like that. And now it seems to us like forecasting is really the primary use case. If you look at the more, let's say, decision-oriented or reporting-oriented and reporting and planning-oriented use cases, would you agree? Or do you see something else as well happening?
Yeah, so if we look now, what is available? Because I explained what was already in the past, but what is available now? I think before starting looking at forecasting, which is only a part of finance, because not everybody is focusing on forecasting, because you have people in tax, you have people in accounting that are more looking at the past rather than looking at the future. But first, what we need to do in finance is to accept that all of these LLM tools are there to help us be more productive. So it's not only for the other departments, it's also for us because, yes, like we are focusing on figures, but we write a lot. We can also use these LLMs to increase our productivity in the tools we use every day, like Excel. If you're always blocked in Excel and you need somebody else to help you, well, there is this ChatGPT tool that is there 24 hours, 7 days a week, and that will give you an answer in 30 seconds to unblock you from your problems. So that would be my first recommendation. Use that to increase your productivity and to have like an AI-first approach to start there if you have a problem. Second, if you look at finance processes, there are some processes in some companies that take more time than others. I can think of receipts. I can think of maybe revenue recognition for some companies that have complex revenue recognition processes or contracts, but still a lot to do manually. There are already some tools like Trulion, which will read the contract through AI, will use the algorithm to understand the revenue recognition patterns, and will propose a booking and propose also some disclosure for your revenue recognition process. And so you will save a lot of time. And those tools are really good at doing one process. So if you are looking at how to use AI in finance, today there is not like one tool that will do everything. It's more you have one tool that is really good at one process. And you can have a look. I have like a top 100 AI tools map, which I arrange by type of processes. And the last one, we talked about forecasting. That's also what people need to, I'll say, like to learn if it's not clear for them, that forecasting with the machine, what we call machine learning, is it's AI. And AI is not only ChatGPT. And what we have always been doing using Excel, putting our knowledge where we look at the past and look at, for example, if during a year in August we have less sales and in March we have more sales. As a human, what we do is we learn from it and we make a mini model that takes that in account in Excel. So with maybe some percentages or some adjustment. And if you give the same information to a machine and you use an algorithm that is called Prophet, for example, it's an algorithm made by Meta, the company from Facebook. This algorithm can do that, but at scale first. And it will do that much more precisely and will do for you the forecasting based on your seasonality. And what is really cool is that you think that you need an army of data scientists to use this, but actually what you just need is two columns, one column of date, one column of value. You need to ask ChatGPT to give you the code to run it. And either you run it in ChatGPT or you run it in your Python environment and you get the results in 10 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds interesting. So do you have a concrete recommendation here? But because, I mean, like looking for a single algorithm for every single problem or task I have doesn't sound like a very, let's say, efficient approach to using AI. So what's your recommendation? How should I go about it?
Well, I think people expect that if you give, for example, just your financials to an AI tool, you will get the forecasting for the next 5 years. And I don't think like even a human can do that because it will not be accurate. We know that revenue is not based on the last years, but more based on the pipeline of clients times the pricing increase we have seen over the last years, times maybe some macro economic event. Maybe your costs are more linked to raw materials or to the increase of salaries and to a headcount planning, or maybe some are more linear. So there will not be like one size fits all, but the same way that what we do when we forecast is really we look at line by line. And then what you can do is, I think you can start by choosing lines that behave the same way, and then either work with the AI tool like ChatGPT to discuss together, like it's your consultant, and ask, okay, how can I plan that better? And if there is an AI algorithm that works, then you can use it and you can try it. And what I will recommend to companies is try line by line, try to run the algorithm if there is one that makes sense, try to run it on the side and cooperate every month to your traditional forecasting and see after a while if this one makes more sense. And if you are in a bigger company, obviously you cannot run that just in one notebook in Python. You need a better process. And for this, some software already have that, where you have collaboration, where you have different types of variables that will use forecasting algorithm like linear regression or logistic regressions or PCA. And this is at scale. But if you are a small company, you can start there.
Yeah. When you talk to companies about AI usage, implementation, what do you see are the biggest challenges they are facing or they are just thinking about, but that might be hindering them to really move ahead? What's top of mind there?
Yeah, so you have, of course, a lot of skepticism if AI can help the finance teams, because like I said before, AI is really good to write, and in finance, we need to calculate. And when we think about generative AI, which is the most now used type of AI, there is the word generative inside. And generative doesn't mean calculate. It means like you generate an answer from nowhere, or not from nowhere, but just like the most probable answer. And for finance, it's really hard to accept that, because we are really precise. We also hired for that. We are the safeguards of the company. And so basing our work on a software that can only give us probable answer, but not exact ones, it's kind of scary. So people in finance need to know how the tool works and to how to go around that. Because if I have that in mind, then I will never run a calculation inside a generative AI tool, but I can ask the generative AI tool, help me build my model in Excel. And in Excel, I can audit if this model works. So that's a way to go around it. The second part is on data confidentiality, because people are in finance deal with confidential data. We have also this role of following procedures on even implementing procedures. So we are well aware of what we can give outside as data or what we have to keep for ourselves. And if your company didn't give you access officially to a generative AI tool, you might be mixed about, you might have mixed feelings about if you can use it or not. And for this, I have two recommendations. First, you need to also be proactive and ask if you can use an AI tool. I see a lot of companies, what they do is they have a contract with Microsoft, and is just ticking the box to add Copilot on top, because those are the same security standards. This is the same contract. So you just need to pay a bit more to have Copilot. And that's the fastest way for companies that have Microsoft to start using generative AI in a secure way. But even if you cannot do that, or if you have no time, what you can do is use AI as an ex-colleague or ex-friend from your university, where imagine you are at a barbecue together and you cannot really give a lot of information about your company, but you can explain, hey, I have a problem where I don't know how to forecast my cash. Every month, I am like 10 million away and I need to be 1 million away from my target. So how do you do in your company? Like which model did you build? How did you collect information? And you can talk 4 hours with your friend and learn so much about this situation without that each of you share any confidential information. And if you treat AI like this, where you just ask to help you without giving confidential information, you can still reach 95% of your task. Maybe the last part where I think there is a problem is on understanding what AI can do. The other day, I was at the restaurant with my ex-colleagues at Thales, and they asked me, because they know that I give training about AI, and they ask me, we are not really sure what AI can do, and we don't really have time to learn about it. So we were having lunch. You have to think about the context. I just took my cell phone and I asked, what did you have to do today? And then one of my colleagues said, oh yeah, there is this assignment I have to give to the management where we need to explain how do we communicate better the results of Thales to all of the company. I said, okay, yeah, really good use case. And then I took my phone, did the voice AI and asked, okay, what are the best way for a company that is spreaded over different business sites with different business units, with different also clients? Because that's a problem of Thales in Germany. And then it gave us a list of 10 actions you can run. And then I showed how you can deep dive in each of the action. And my colleague then said, wow, then my work is done. Thank you. How can I download the app now? And really just basically after 10 minutes, they were all trying in the app, trying a lot of use cases, trying to see which Excel formula can help them, what is the best KPI. And it was just 10 minutes spent together.
Hey, I want to invite you to the Bark Finance and Controlling Summit. This will be a unique opportunity to meet many experts, not only from Bark talking about market trends and their observations on the market, but also other experts like Niklas Boucher. He's a really deep down expert in AI and finance, or Professor Meyer, long-term capacity on digital finance. Of course, we have the latest technology present, so you can take a look what's new in the software field. We also have many users talking about their experiences in using software. I'm looking forward to hear, for example, from Zalando or ENBW. This is a great opportunity to connect with experts, with vendors, but also with each other in the finance and controlling community. This year, we focus on two main topics. One is planning and reporting, and the other is ESG reporting. This all happens on the 13th and 14th of May in Frankfurt. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Now, I'll tell you my last lunch story. It's at also canteen at a very large German manufacturing organization. I won't mention the name, but it was also obviously AI often is a lunch topic. And we were talking about the use cases in, knowledge management. Yeah? And often this is the topic that you have know-how sometimes in very old documentation, especially about old machines, old processes, how to service them and so on. And That's a typical use case for Gen AI, yeah? Because you can really make text very well accessible. And then my counterpart said, well, but actually we found that in the text, there's not enough information. And in the end, we had to have the people that are soon to be retired. Yeah, we had them. We needed conversations for them to have with the new people that take over. And we understood that a lot of knowledge can only be transferred human to human. Yeah. And I said, but I hope you really recorded this, yeah? Because, yeah, just take a audio file, yeah, put it in any foundation model, yeah, and you can again ask questions against it, yeah, and you can combine it with the documents we have. And he looked like with big eyes and said, "Oh my God, yeah, we forgot to do that. No. Nobody thought about it." And yeah, so now this know-how is with in the brain of another human being. But again, yeah, not very well accessible. And for me, that's a great example that education is so important. Yeah, that things are moving so quickly in this technology that even if you, for example, if you wouldn't be able to use these audio files properly, yeah, I would bet in a year, let's say one or two iterations of these foundation models further. Yeah, you probably could. Yeah? So. I completely agree that education is, I think, one of the most important things here. Just understanding what's possible, sharing or creating some imagination, what might be possible in the future, and then act accordingly. Which leads me to the question to you is, you are obviously in the education, or you are one of the people that's educating a finance team. So, what do you concretely do here? And where do you see most interest? So what are people really asking for?
Yeah. So what I really want in my training is to be super practical, to show use cases and how to use AI for finance. I start with LLM tools like ChatGPT, where really like after 5-10 minutes, they know how to prompt, like not like the typical error where you prompt like using Google. But instead, I give a framework and people just use it straight away after I demo one example. The first exercise, do it yourself on something you have to do today. And because they do it by themselves in my trainings, then they learn because learning by doing. And then also they see straight away the output and they see, wow, like, okay, I can really do much more than what I thought. And after progressively, I show them how to use it for financial analysis because there is a special way to go around analyzing figures because we know that it's not really good for calculating, but it's really good to help you with financial analysis, to help you write procedures, but also help you solve problems because we do that all day. We just spend our day solving problems. And at the end, really, of the 2 hours workshop that I run with companies, the goal is that people know how to use it straight away. And normally they save enough time during the week that these 2 hours are already won for the companies. Mm-hmm. And it's really because not everybody is the same. And you have people that learn by themselves, but those are exceptions. And then you have like 80% of the other people that need to spend these 2 hours to learn the frameworks, to learn the use cases. And then they can use those tools to have the productivity that the management expect. So this is a way that we train people. Then there is a second type of training is for teams that want to know where is AI going, what AI can do today, not only about ChatGPT, but about AI tools. So there I run webinars also for, you know, like when they run on-site or when there is the CFO is there to give like a keynote and then I'm coming and also helping. So there I demonstrate to them what is the state of AI in finance today, what is AI roadmap, which tool they can use, and also which skills you need to prepare as an individual to go with this change that is coming with more and more AI implementation.
All right. And I have a little bit like more like a high level question, but I still think it's can have a very interesting answer. If you now we laid out now many different ways how to use AI, different use cases, different way how to technically approach this. And if you think now about a CFO and you get the question, which I think is often the case, is like, where should I invest first now? Yeah, is it use case? Is it technology? What type of technology? Is it people? Is it training? So, I mean, there's a lot to do, obviously, a lot of moving parts. Yeah. Where would you start? What's your recommendation?
I will do it in a progression of three steps. The first step is to make sure that people use the productivity tools like ChatGPT, Copilot, Gemini. You can do it. Either you can hire somebody like me. You can, if you have really a star in your team that is really good at teaching, because that's also like sometimes you have people that are really good at knowing it, but they are not good at teaching. So you need also people that are really good at teaching, but you can ask them to give like a lunch and learn. What you can also run is those AI mini hackathon, where during 1 or 2 hours, everybody is looking at AI use cases that are straight away usable and not something theoretical. So that will be the first part. And also, it should not be one time. It should be that also you have a platform to exchange those use cases between all of the members of the team. Then the second part is to look together with your management how you can use AI tools that are specific for finance. So if we take, for example, my case, like a few years ago when I was head of finance, we had some people living for retirement, and the stack of receipts for travel for restaurants was growing every day because we had other things to do as people were going in retirement. We could not deal with all of the tasks. And so I remember like during 3 days, I locked everybody in the room and said, okay, now we go as a team and we go through all of the receipts. And that was maybe the worst part of my finance life, like the less interesting thing I did. And this thing today is done by AI, because AI doesn't complain that it has to do 1,000 receipts in one day. AI understands the difference between a restaurant that is for workers and a Michelin star or a gentleman club in China. AI can also translate Chinese and understand that on the bill, there is alcohol and maybe some other services that are not really allowed by the company, which you as an accountant, first, you will not have time to do the translation. You will also not have the energy to really understand what on the bill if something is wrong. And so like this, you can make the work of finance much nicer. And on top, you can spot mistakes that a human will not have spot because on the volume, you cannot do that. So look really at all of the use cases that you have in your company and then pick one where really AI will profit you, will benefit you. And if it's not this, this could be, like I said earlier, revenue recognition. It could be tools where if on the receivables, you really have a hard time collecting money, you have maybe a big team and some people are going to retirement, it's really hard to recruit. Then what you can put in place is automations with AI, where AI is going to write for you a specific dunning letter or reminder, which is customized to your client. And even if you want to push the barrier to a full innovation, you can put in place an AI voice agent, which will call your client and say, hi, I am the AI voice agent of Nicolas, and I'm just there to remind you that there is a bill that is not paid. Here's how you can pay it. If you don't pay it, here are the consequences. So I'm just going to send you a SMS or email after with the link to pay. Thank you. We really appreciate that you respect our payment terms. And if this can help you, then again, I don't think it's about like saving a lot of FTEs. Because what I hear from CFOs is they have a hard time recruiting the right people. So if you can keep your good people to make them work and on the right topics, I think you are happy to implement those tools.
Yeah. Excellent. Nicolas, you will join us at our BARC Finance and Controlling Summit on 13th and 14th of May in Frankfurt. and join us with a keynote. So maybe you could give the people a bit of an outlook on what you will be talking about.
What I really love in giving keynotes is that people after, they are like, wow, I learned something concrete. I learned something practical. I can use it now. Because as when I go to keynotes and I just hear a theory, at the end I see everybody like starting falling asleep, and I don't want that people fall asleep. So my goal is really to show you how you can do financial analysis with AI, because I think it's one of the main challenge of using AI in finance. And once that you know how to do it, you can never go back. You will do analysis that you never thought about. You will also learn how to visualize that, because we are now in a world where data is not a problem anymore, but how you present it is more important, because people are overflooded with data. So knowing how to present that is also really important. And basically giving the keys to the attendees, to the CFOs, to the finance managers, that they will learn for themselves, but also after they can give that back when they come back in their offices and teach that again, or show that to their teams and show them, yeah, we can use AI for financial analysis. And this is the framework of Nicola as I learned it.
Excellent. So I'm looking forward to it. I think this is another reason to join the event. And I'm also looking forward to seeing you there in person. Niklas, thanks for sharing your experience here with us, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
See you, Karsten.